thank the brethren who led us in service there, and thank Brother Frank there for the songs that he sung. And sound great. Sound like people that love the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, creator of the heavens and the earth and all things therein, we humbly approach your throne of grace, thanking you, Father, for this Lord's Day that you have granted unto us, knowing that it was not promised, but once again, Father, you have expressed your great love to us, allowed us to have this Lord's Day, and allowed us to be able to have the mind and the health that we have, and to be able to assemble today here as one, and to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. And we pray, Father, and we thank you for this congregation of your people who have come together today, and we just pray, dear Lord, that you continue to allow your blessings to be showered down upon them, of your love and your kindness and your mercy unto them, and continue to provide them all the things that they stand in need of, that they may continue to do your will, to continue to be about your business. We ask, Father, that you will help us to alleviate the things that may be going on in our mind and our world at this time, and to be able to focus, dear Lord, on worshiping you and the message that will be coming forth. And just pray that you will be with me and stand with me and help me to be able to impart your word, that others may hear your voice today and not see me, Father, but see you and your word and your son and the love that you have for mankind, for us all, dear Lord, and also to see your wonderful plan of salvation that you have for us all. So we just ask, Father, that you continue to be with us, allow your grace to be upon us, and help us, Father, to be about your business. And we just pray that all that is done today will be that which is pleasing unto you in word and deed, and that overall, Father, that you will receive the glory. In the holy name of your Son, Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. It says once again, it is good to be able to stand before you as we looked into the lesson to be of those who are like precious faith, and to be here and to see that we are a sound congregation. Good to see that. And also to be able to see that we have growth and numbers here in the congregation here, which is a wonderful thing. So I just continue to pray for you and your efforts to continue to grow, not just in number, but in spirit. Continue to grow in the Lord. Continue to do your very best to be more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in everything that we do. So the lesson here will be coming from the book of 2 Peter. How did you know that? 2 Peter. 2 Peter is where we will be studying from here. Get into our lesson here. Time is short here. 2 Peter chapter 3 is where we'll be studying from. Chapter 3. And the text here, or verses here, that we'll be taking in your reading for today will be verses 10 through 13. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. Second Peter 3:10 through 13. And it reads, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manners of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." So that is your reading there, and we'll be going back up and looking at this chapter here up to the verse number 13, and basically walking through the chapter to see what the Apostle Peter here has to say unto these Christians here, as they are here basically dealing with those who come and go against what they believe here in their faith here as Christians here and the struggles that they are facing and up against, which are same and similar to the things that we face today. So we'll go back up to verse number 1, and we'll start here in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. And if you need a title, I drew the title out of verse number 1, which is, "What manners of persons ought ye to be?" What manners of persons ought ye to be? So in verse number 1 and 2 is where I'll start here. It says here in verse 1 and 2, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." So this here is the second letter that the apostle Peter is writing unto those who he calls the beloved or Christians. And his purpose in writing both of these letters were to stir up their pure minds, get their pure minds to thinking, stir up their pure minds by way of remembrance. He wants them to remember the words that were spoken of the holy prophets and also of the commandments of our Lord and Savior that was given by the apostles. See, Peter wants them to remember the words of God. He wants them to remember the words of truth. This is a key word in remembrance, and this is what Peter is doing. He's stirring up their pure minds. He wants them to remember what has been taught to them, what the holy prophet said, and also the commandments of Jesus Christ that was given by the apostles. He wants them to remember the words of God here. See, it has been shown unto Peter by the Lord that he is going to die soon. All right, this has been shown to Peter here. He knows he's going to die. So what he's doing, he's working hard while he is still alive, that when he is dead and gone, that these Christians will still remember the word of God. So this is what he's doing. Let's take a look here at 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 12. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 12 through 15. This is actually where we just left off on what we were studying. So you got that kind of connection there. So 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 12 through 15. And it reads here, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, adding to your faith." Here's what we have studied there in the Bible class. He said, "Though you know them and be established in the present truth." You know these things, you're established in the presence of truth, but I'm not going to neglect telling you these things. It says here in verse 13, "Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, in this body, in the flesh, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance." So we see here his purpose. He's stirring them up to get them remembering these words of truth that has been presented unto them. Verse 14, "Knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me." So the Lord has shown him that he is going to put off his tabernacle, his body, his flesh. He's going to die soon. And then he tells us here, 15, "Moreover, I will endeavor," so he's working hard, "that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance." This is what Peter's doing. He's working hard. He knows his time is short here on this earth, so he's doing his very best, making a sincere effort to get these Christians to remember what the holy prophets had said and what the commandments of the Lord had said. And I think that is a great example that Peter shares here for all Christians. I think we all should be reminding each other of the word of God, in word or in deed. Some way, somehow, we should be reminding each other of the word of God. It's good to be reminded of the word of God. All right? It's good to be reminded. Sometimes you might hear the same thing over and over again. You may hear me say the same thing over again. Sometimes I hear his brother say the same thing over and over, especially some of the older brothers. They say the same thing over and over. It's like a fresh story to him, too. He's telling that story. Brother, we've heard that story 100 times. But that's good, though. It's good. It's the truth. It's good to be reminded of the truth. It helps us to remember. That's part of number one thing about teaching, reminding you, especially of God's word. It helps you to retain. See, I need to be told over. You don't always gonna seek in. Brother Young, I always don't get it. I need to be told over and over again. At some point, the light bulb, oh, I got it now. I know what you're talking about. Or I remember what was being said. So it's good to be reminded of the word of God. It helps strengthen us. All right, it helps to encourage us. It helps to edify and build us up, especially when your faith is being tested. See, this is what Peter's dealing with, these Christians here. And to continue on, we can see that here. All right, so we see it is good to be reminded of the word of God. Verses 3 and 4 says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So Peter says here, remember the words of God here. And then he says here, knowing this first, so most important, know this first. He says that there shall come. So what Peter's doing, he's preparing them for what is to come. All right, as Christians, we should be prepared. The more we study God's word, the more we engage each other, fellowship, the more we pray, it's helping us to be prepared. The more we prepare, the better we can respond or something or react to something. So it's good to continue to be prepared. And we see as Apostle Peter here, being an elder, he's seeing what is to come. He's probably already witnesses things as he talks about false teaching over and over, but he's preparing these Christians on what is to come. And that's what we should do. Some things that we see that's coming up that we might need to bring and be talked about in Bible class or to fellowship with one another and talk to one another about some things that we see that might be going on in the world that might affect us as Christians, as a church. We need to be talking about these things to help us to prepare ourselves that when it happens or it comes our way, we know how to respond to those things. So it's good to be prepared. I've heard that as Christians, we are prepared people. That they are prepared. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. I got it there now. I've heard that before, and I believe that is true, and also in every other walk in our lives. So Peter says here, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. So the last days. It's not the last couple of days before the end of the world. He's talking about the last days, the messianic age. It is when the first coming of Jesus Christ till the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is what he's talking about in the last days. We see that in the book of Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2. What God says, in God in sundry times and divers manners, spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, or hath in these last days, spoken to us by his Son. We know that Jesus said when he was on earth, the words that he spoke were not his, they were of the Father. So when Jesus was here on earth speaking the words of the Father, it was the last days, talking about the messianic age. Also, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 17, it tells us there that it shall come to pass that in the last days, God will pour out his flesh on all, his spirit on all flesh. So it's showing us there in the last days also, that's when the first gospel was being preached. So we're also talking about the Christian dispensation where man has an opportunity, his last opportunity, to get it right with the Lord. All right, so when we're talking about the last days, we're talking about the Masonic age, when Christ first came until the second coming of Christ, and also talking about the Christian dispensation here, the last chance that man has to get himself right with the Lord. So there shall come in the last days scoffers. All right, scoffers. What are scoffers? Scoffers are those who mock. All right, those who mock, belittle, make fun of, make light of God, his word, his children. These are scoffers. By definition, it says the deriders, implication, false teachers. So these are the people that when you tell them, I'm going to church, and they laugh at you and tell you it's a waste of time. Now, God has told me, serving him, being faithful to him, he's going to give me a crown of life. I'm going to have eternal life. It's not a waste of time, but this is what scoffers do. All right, this is when you're reading your Bible and somebody tells you that's a book of fables. It was written by man. Well, it was penned by man, but it's inspired by God. The Bible is right, and I believe every word of it. But this is what scoffers will do. This is what scoffers come and say in their presentation or argument about what they believe. So there are scoffers here that will come in the last days. I was looking for a good example of a scoffer to try to share with you. And I came home after worship Sunday and I was like, you know, let me watch cartoons. I haven't watched cartoons in quite a while. You know, they don't make cartoons like they used to. They'll make the Flintstones and, you know, the Jetsons and stuff like that. They got all this crazy stuff today. So I turned on the TV. They had the Family Guy on. And then it went off. So I didn't get to see the Family Guy. But then they came on with the Simpsons. And watching the Simpsons there, they began to mock God. They were teaching the kids in the classroom that you are to fear God. And then they got to the point of saying, God is a bully and you need to obey God. So in a sense, they were mocking God. You know, God is not a bully. He does not force anyone to do anything against your will. He's giving you free will to make a choice. God doesn't bully us at all. God wants us to love him and to serve him out of love. But this is what's going on in the world today. This is the type of teaching that people get, especially even kids. This is a cartoon. Just imagine why people grow up and they have certain things in their heart that is against God. They've been taught this for years. So that's what us as Christians have the love that God wants us to try to respond and deal with them in a loving way, telling them the truth so that they can come out of that. They can come with a proper understanding of the love of God. So Peter says here that scoffers here will come in the last days. And why are there scoffers? He tells us there in this verse here in 3. He says, walking after their own lust. They're walking after their own lust. What does that mean? They're living for their own evil desires. Simply put, they want to do what they want to do and not the will of God. That's why they scoff. They want to do what they want to do. They're walking after their own desires. That's why they are scoffing here. This is what is going on here, as they're walking and living according to their own lifestyle, their own desires here. And the sad part about it, they teach others to do the same. And this is their argument here in verse number 4. So we see scoffers is coming here, and they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the very beginning. So this is what the scoffers here, they're walking according to their own lust, their own desires, and they're saying, where is the promise of his coming? Jesus promised to come back. When is he coming back? All right, the fathers had fell asleep. Years had passed away. All right, everything continues as it was from the very beginning. Everything from the beginning of creation is staying the same. Nothing has changed. It's all stayed the same. Jesus promised to come back. Nothing's changed. He's not coming back. See, if I'm a scoffer, I can continue to live however I want, because if Jesus is not coming back, that means I can do what I want to do and there is no judgment. There is no consequences for my actions. So here's these scoffers here, and they have this argument that everything has stayed the same way from the beginning of creation. Jesus promised to come back. Where is he? He's not coming back. I can do whatever I want to do here. All right, so we see there as they reject Christ here and his returning, and then they can live however they want to do. They're just soothing their own consciences here. Verses 5 and through 7 here. It says, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Peter says that the scoffers here, they are willingly ignorant here. They choose to forget. All right, they choose to forget by the word of God. He's talking about the power of God's spoken word. God spoke in the heavens and the earth. He created the heavens and the earth by speaking it in his powerful word here, his word that he has spoken. And then he says here, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Peter said they willingly forget one thing. They overlook, these scoffers do. He tells them that they overlook that same water that God had in creation, he used to bring a flood. All right, that the world that then was perished. What is he talking about? He's talking about the flood in the days of Noah. He's talking about there was a great flood that took place in the days of Noah there in that time. This is what they overlooked. Things have not continued the same way since creation. And Peter is letting these Christians know that no, there was a great change that took place here before in creation. Why did this take place? Well, in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5, God said he looked down, all right? He saw the wickedness of man in the earth and that their thoughts was evil continually, all right? They had nothing but the imaginations of their thoughts of their heart was evil continually. Did you imagine that? I had no good thoughts. It's just my mind, imagination, my thoughts was evil continually. I figured a murderer at least have a good thought about his mama. But here, it seems like it was just that wickedness. God said he looked down on the earth and saw how wicked the earth was. And we see that there was a great flood that took place. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 7. And we want to look here, Genesis chapter 11 and verse number 11 and 12 here. Genesis 7, verses 11 and 12. And it reads, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So we know that there was a great flood there. Drop down to verse 21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both fowl, cattle, of beast, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry ground died, and every living substance was destroyed which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and the creeping things and the fowl of the heavens, and they were destroyed from earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were in with him in the ark. So we see there was a great flood, and God tells us that everything was destroyed in this great flood. Everything from the creeping things, from the cattle, the creeping things, the fowls, every man was destroyed here on this earth here. See, like the only thing that remained was the fish. Everything that was upon this earth was destroyed. It was a great flood. And we know that was because of the wickedness of men. And this is what Peter is reminding these Christians, that don't listen to these scoffers. They are presenting their argument because they want to live the way that they want to live. Do not listen to these scoffers and their argument, because things have changed. Flip back with me, back to 2 Peter chapter 3 here. Things have changed. There was this great flood that took place here. And now we see that Peter says also, 2 Peter here in chapter 3, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So there was a great flood, and just as there is a great flood, there's going to be a fire next time. Peter says, just as real as the flood was, the fire is going to be there just as real next time when God places his judgment here upon the earth here. He says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, he's talking about this present heaven and this earth, will be no more. All right, he said this is reserved, kept by the word of God. When God says that's it, that's it. It's kept in store, preserved unto fire here. And it will be the day of judgment, and also it will be the destruction, perdition of ungodly men. This is telling us some of the events that will take place, return of Christ Jesus. Let us continue on. Verse number 8 and 9. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. He says, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Simply telling us, God is not affected by time as man is. Our God is eternal. He's not affected by the time like we are. And also that his promise of sending his son, he is not affected. His promise is not affected either. This is what he's telling us here, simply put there, as Peter speaks here. And then he tells us here that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, but some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering. He doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. God loves all mankind. God loves all his creation, and he's being patient, giving man time, because he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants man to repent. He wants man to turn from his ways and accept God's ways and live and serve him. Do you see how loving and kind God is? He loves us all. He loves everybody out here that's out here on the street, even those that's out here doing wrong, and we wonder why so much suffering and stuff still takes place in the world. God is being kind to you. Some people ask me that. Why is he loving God? Why do you allow so much suffering going on? God is being long-suffering with you so you can come to him. He's allowing all this stuff to take place so that he's giving us time so we can turn from our ways and turn to God and serve him. That's what God is allowing all what's going on in the world. He's being patient with us, giving us time here to turn to him. You see in Romans chapter 2, verse 4 and 6, it says, "O despise thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth to repentance." God is being good because he wants man to repent. God is being so good, he's even being good to the scoffers that are scoffering his word, his children, his way. That's how good and loving God is. He's even being good to those who scoff him. And that explains why he is delaying his son's return here so that man can repent. Let's continue on. Verse 10 here. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up." It says, "But the day of the Lord will come." My Jesus is coming soon. The day of the Lord will come. Jesus is coming. He's coming back to take those who are faithful back with him. He's coming back in the clouds just as he left. And he's coming back for those who are faithful in Christ Jesus. My Lord is coming back. Do you believe that Jesus is coming back? If you believe it, then you should live that way. And this is what Peter is trying to get over to these Christians. He said, the day of the Lord will come, and it will come as a thief in the night. It's going to come when men are not expecting Jesus to come. When you're not expecting him, he will come. All right? So don't listen to all these false people out here in the world making false predictions about when Jesus is coming. They don't know when Jesus is coming. Jesus said, no one knows the hour, the day, or time when Jesus is going to return. Don't listen to people. Listen to God. He knows when he is going to send his son here. So he's coming as a thief in the night. And then he says, "Which the heavens shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also shall be burnt up." So everything that we know of, the heavens, the birds here, all right, the stars, the moon, the sun, the elements, the wind and fire, everything, the earth and the works therein is all going to be gone away. I came here and I sat at the store for a minute. I looked at the beautiful mountains all around. I go, wow, look at all these beautiful mountains. They're so close, beautiful mountains. They're not going to be here. When the day of the Lord comes, all of this is going to be gone away. All the works of the Lord that he has created, all the works of man that we have created, it's all going to be gone. The beautiful strip we got down here in Las Vegas, it's going to be gone. All the works that's going to be, the heavens, everything is going to be gone. It's going to be dissolved. It's going to go back to just how God had it in the very beginning before he created the heavens and the earth. God spoke it into existence. He'll speak it right on out of existence. He's going to take it all away, all right, knowing that everything is going to be burnt up there. Then he's continue on. He says in verse 11 here, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manners of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of God?" So seeing that all of this is going to take place, that the heavens and the earth, all the works that there are in, all right, is going to be gone. All right, what type of persons ought ye to be? What type of person are you to be? What type of life are we to be living? It says, in all holiness and godliness. All right, all holiness. That means being separated from the world. We're set apart from the world for God's use. All right, we are to be different, peculiar people. We are to be set away from that of the world there and being used for God, for His service. That's my purpose here on earth, is to serve God and His purpose and doing His will here. So we should be those that have holy conduct here as Christians. And it tells us also godliness, all right, being devoted to God and the things that are of God. Don't be godliness, being as God is, being devoted and being concerned about the things that He is concerned about here, knowing that all this stuff is going to be going away. If everything's going to be gone, where should my focus be? How about on my house, my car, my wealth, 401k, going on my vacation? Or what can be our main concern is what is the will of the Lord. I say we don't be concerned or mindful of those things, but our number one priority should be on doing what God wants us to do, doing His will, because that's what's going to matter when we stand before Jesus Christ in the time of judgment. We need to be about our Father's business here, knowing that everything is going to be gone away. So no matter what I've done here on this earth, if it wasn't for the Lord, what good was it? Got a whole lot of people that have passed away, all right? Even the last couple weeks, many people, well-known people, what did they do for God? What did they do in service unto God? What did they do? They had this whole life God didn't give them. They got all these wonderful things, but what did they do in service for God? That's what it comes down to. None of this matters. The accolades, the trophies, the awards, none of this stuff matters. Only serving God matters here. Then he says here, looking for and hastening unto the coming day of the Lord. We are to be looking for it. That means being earnestly ready, looking for the return of the Lord and living that way. And then he says also, hastening unto the coming day of the Lord. This hastening here, I don't know if this is actually meaning that we are to be about out spreading the gospel, helping others come to the Lord. So then God will, it will help hasten up God's process of bringing all the souls that He has to come to Him, and then that will be it. So we see that hastening is looking for, being earnestly desiring the return of the Lord. Then it says here, unto the coming day of the Lord, wherein the heavens shall be, heavens being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to His promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwell. So we're looking forward to His promise of a new heaven and a new earth. We serve a God who says, I cannot lie. That it's impossible for God to lie. He has given us this great promise of a new heaven and a new earth, and He will give it to us. But we have to stay faithful. We have to be those who live in holy and godly lives here in order to be able to have this great home here of heaven here. And he says there, a new heaven and new earth where dwelleth righteousness. It's going to new heaven and new earth only where righteousness dwells. All right, only where righteousness dwells. There's no more wickedness, no more evil, no more foolishness that we deal with in this world. We're going to be around righteous people being there with the Lord. Let me read this here, and then we'll be closing out here. Revelations chapter 21, 1 through 5. Speaking here about the new heaven and the new earth here. He says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away every tear from their eye, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. So we see here, this is a whole new order of things. It's not as the false teaching that it's going to be paradise on earth here. God is going to destroy this earth, and He's going to create a whole new order of system here, a new heaven and a new earth where only righteousness dwells, where we will tabernacle with God, we will be with God, and we will be there with God where there is no more pain and suffering and death and crying. Former things will be passed away and will be nothing but righteousness there. All right, so concluding here on this lesson here, what manner of persons ought we to be? Knowing that everything here that we see and know of here will no longer be, we ought to be those who are living for God, being holy and godly people, looking to serve Him. First Peter chapter 1, verse 22 and 23 says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, seeing that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, that is, of not of corruptible seed, not of flesh, but now being of incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. All right, and he tells us, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It's showing us here that everything is going to fade away here. All right, we have been born of the water and the Spirit, that is, being baptized here, and being born of the water and the Spirit, not of the flesh, the incorruptible seed, but the word of God. And now we are to be those having this word in us, that we will live forever. This is what's going to remain. All right, our flesh is going to go back to the earth here. But if we live faithful and serve God, God says this is what remains. This is what's most important, that the word of God is in us, and it will be that which will remain forever. So the lesson here is, what manner of persons ought you to be? What manner of person, what type of life should we be living, knowing that all around us is going to be going away, be looking for our Savior Jesus Christ to return, and looking for that promise of God that has given unto us of a new heaven and a new earth where nothing but righteousness dwells. That is my lesson for us today. If you are here, or you are not a Christian, I believe everybody is, but to me, if I don't know, I'm going to give you the plan of salvation, all right? So we know we have to hear the word of God. The Bible lets us know, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God, Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17. Upon hearing the word of God, believing that Jesus Christ died for our sins, he was buried, he rose on the third day, and we believe that, and we need to act upon it. We need to have faith in what we have heard. All right, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6 says, that it says, know that it isn't without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And then we know we need to repent. Jesus says that we need to repent. If we do not repent, we will perish. God commands all men to repent today, Acts chapter 17 and verse number 30. That is turning from our ways of sin and turning unto God, having a change of mind that results in the change of our lives, and that is produced by godly sorrow, produced by knowing God's word. Then we need to confess, the sweetest confession that ever was made, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus says that if you confess me before men, I will also confess you before my Father. But if you deny me before men, I will also deny you before my Father. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33. Then after that, we need to be baptized. All right, those steps lead us unto Christ. To get in Christ, we need to be baptized where we come into the contact of the blood of Jesus Christ. And we see that in Mark chapter 16 and verse 15 and 16. Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. All right, then we need to live a life that is faithful unto God. And if we do so, he promises.